For over 10 years, I've been traveling the country speaking about the importance of media discernment, and certainly the subject itself brings up a lot of questions in people's hearts and minds. So stay tuned for this week's episode as I answer some questions that have come in from our podcast listeners, as well as others from our ministry. Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which Parents Television Council calls deft and powerful. Captivated recently was honored with the Gold Crown Award for Best Documentary at the 2013 International Christian Visual Media Conference, and we are very grateful to the Lord for this honor that we received just over the weekend. Now, be sure to send us any comments or questions that you have to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@mediatalk101.org. And if you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. We're back in the Media Talk 101 studio here. I'm with my co-host, Rhett Simpkins, and I am going to be answering some questions today from podcast listeners and from others that have come in. So Rhett's going to help me out here. He's got a list of questions. Once again, welcome, Rhett.
Thank you.
And what do we have here?
All right. Yeah, we just got a question in yesterday, and I'll start with that one, and then we have several others. Somebody wrote in and said, Mr. Telfer, in the future, our grown children will sit at a corporate workstation with unfiltered internet access, possess a mobile phone which can stream pornographic movies, and sit comfortably on a couch in a coffee shop where they'll be tempted to use an iPad to gamble away their hard-earned money. While under our roofs, we as parents can use filters to screen out objectionable content. However, this is not a world our grown-up kids will live in. Though we may want to, we can't return Pandora to the box. I would like you to discuss on a podcast how you think the transition should work between our kids living under filtered access and making wise decisions as adults with unfiltered internet available to them. Sincerely, Craig.
That is such a great question, and certainly as a father of four children, something that's on my mind quite a bit. And I know, Rhett, you've got a couple children, and Lord willing, you have some more to come. Mm-hmm. And we're dealing with what this person calls Pandora's box, you know, kind of making a reference that it's out of the box, and what can we do? Well, in response to that, let me just say that I think it is very important when children are young, very young, to really guard their hearts. And as he talks about the filters, and so, you know, as he asks this question, the thought is, well, they can't always live that way. And I agree. There's going to be a time when our kids grow up and they're going to go out into the world and they're going to be exposed to these things. And what are you going to do? So let's just start with young ages. At a very young age, I think children should be very guarded. And that's the responsibility of the parent. I remember I was on a radio show once, a live call-in show, and a person called in and started talking about some issues that they were having with media consumption with one of their children, and getting a little pushback. And so the host actually asked the caller, so how old is your child? And the caller said it was like 5 years old or something. Hmm. And he was a little more brash than I was. And he said, that's not a media problem. That's a parenting problem. Hmm. And I couldn't agree more. You know, I've had people ask me over the years as well, when I go out to speak at Christian schools or sometimes youth groups or churches, people say, okay, you have a program for junior high and high school and young adult ages, but what about grade school? And I said, oh, yeah, we have a great program for that. It's called parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't really have anything I can say to a grade school or a young child. That's really the parent's role to guard their hearts. They're at such a time in life where they're very vulnerable. And the more we can shelter them and guard them during those times, the better. Now, as they get older, that begins to change. They become more aware of the world around them. So I believe that as children get older, what we need to do is not just provide appropriate fences, but also to shepherd them. And I talked about this on a podcast a week ago or so. I don't remember exactly when it was. But I talked about the difference between managing sheep today, which I used to do, and that was simply building strong fences, and shepherding, like when you read in the Bible, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I mm-hmm. shall not want. The idea of shepherds, as you read about them in the Bible, is they lived with the sheep. They were out there in the fields, open fields, no fences, with the sheep. But the shepherds were there to provide protection. So certainly a parent is still called, even as their children get older, to provide protection, but it's not going to be through fences. It's going to be through a watchful eye, through a recognition of what things are dangerous, and just being present. And I believe that that's one of the key elements that we need to walk through, and not just say no to these things, but to explain the why. And as we walk through life with our children, as I do this with my children, begin to explain to them about the pitfalls, the dangers that we're facing today, and why we have certain restrictions in the home, but also talk to them about the future when they're going to be in a time of their life where they have to make decisions on their own. So my oldest right now is only 15, so we're just getting into that season. And I believe as they get older, we give them a little bit more responsibility, let the leash out a little more, so to speak. But even if you think about the analogy of a young person, about 15 in most states, you could get your learning permit to drive. But even then, you don't just give the keys to a car, you know, to the car, and let a 15-year-old who has no experience go driving off on their own or mm-hmm. do a cross-country trip. That period of time while they have their learning permit is to drive with an adult, with a responsible person who has experience that can give them guidance and help. And I believe when it comes to the internet, with all the pitfalls that we're facing today to the internet, that's the approach that I'm taking. My younger children do not have access to the internet. Now my older daughter, now that she's 15, she has an email account. She has some guidelines for that. And for the most part, her internet access is in community. So mm-hmm. It's just like she has her learning permit. So we're walking with her through this period of time to help her understand the importance of safe navigation and all of those issues. Now, eventually, though, she's going to get her license, as she shows that she's trustworthy. So anyway, there's more elements to this because this is a complex question. And so I'm going to shift gears here. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, said that the law was not made for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And I'm paraphrasing here. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that if you have a person who's doing what's right, you don't need a rule. You don't need law for them. It's for the lawbreakers. And likewise, God's goal for our lives is not that we just live under law, but that we would live under His grace, that our hearts, that He would by His Spirit take His law and write it upon our hearts, that He would change our hearts so that it would be embedded in us. And that's what our children need. They need that righteous law of God embedded in their hearts through His Holy Spirit. And that's something that we can teach them, we can lead them, but that can only be accomplished through the work of God in their lives. And so part of that training is not just saying no to certain things or internet filters or restrictions. Part of this training is leading them to Jesus, making sure that we're fostering spiritual habits, helping them foster spiritual habits in their own life, and also teaching them the importance of the fear of the Lord, which it says is the beginning of wisdom. And they're going to need this as they launch out into to life someday, out from our watch, but not out from under God's watch. Mm-hmm. And if they have submitted their lives to Jesus Christ, and that there's been a and we've been able to foster a biblical fear of the Lord, as well as a desire to see the Holy Spirit continue that inward work of writing that law upon their hearts, that's what our children are going to need. And so I would agree with Craig, who wrote in, that we simply can't just build the fences. Mm-hmm. That's not enough, because they're gonna get out of the house and they're gonna go berserk, you know, in this crazy world that we're living in, where there's just a torrent coming against godly living, and there once again there's just a pitfall on the internet around every corner. So it's just not a safe place. It's not a safe world in many ways, but yet God's called us to be in it, but not of it. And so we're to be in the world, we're to be lights in the world, and we have to teach our children how to navigate these issues. And the internet's a huge one. Once again, it's not just internet on the computer anymore, it's the internet on the phones. And it's not even that, it's on the portable game stations now. So certainly, to hopefully answer this question about the transition, I do believe there is a transition that we need to help children through. And I think that going back to Psalm 23 is good, as we look at the Lord being our shepherd, that we shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. As parents are the shepherds in their home, that's what they should model. But also, as you know, as many of us have memorized Psalm 23, it goes on to talk about that the safety, even in the presence of enemies, and the just that we have a good shepherd that's there to nourish us and protect us and guide us. And those are the things that we should aspire to as parents. So I often encourage parents to, first of all, model media discernment in their own lives. It won't do any good to be hypocritical, to hope that your children are going to turn out a certain way, but you live a different way. So you need to model. And once you're modeling that, you can also mentor your children. And that's what that's the kind of the real gist of my answer to this would be, to mentor and to walk through these issues, to talk about them openly and to explain why there are challenges that we're facing today and why we need to walk in wisdom. And also prepare, even talk to your children about that time in their life when they'll be out from under your watch, and help them understand why it's important that they know that they're under God's watch and that their hearts are turned towards Him. But I do also think that we need to monitor, you know, media choices. A parent needs to be monitoring and kind of seeing how are they doing. So going back to the driving analogy, if your child is a 15 and they've got their learning permit and they're making unwise decisions under your guidance, then you're going to want to kind of back up a little bit and say, hey, slow down here. I have another analogy of this. You know, my 11-year-old son likes to do wood turning. And a wood turning lathe can be a fairly dangerous tool. It's, you know, spinning wood at 1600 RPMs or 1250 RPMs, you know, depending on how you have it set up. And you're using sharp tools, and there's a possibility for injury. So I always make sure that he's got his face shield on and a dusk mask, and that he's using careful things. And as I watch him, if I see him do something foolish, I take him aside and I say, hey, now wait a minute, you know, what you just did puts you at harm, and I want you to stay safe. And so that's part of just walking alongside. And we should do that in every area of their lives, especially regarding the internet. And also, you know, continue to motivate them to understand that this really is about a focus on Christ. This is about running the race to win, you know, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and understanding that there are stumbling blocks. The Bible says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And I keep going on and, but I keep thinking of things that will hopefully be helpful. It would be great if it was more, you know, if Craig and I were in a room and we were conversing about this, I'm sure this would go a lot further. But I'd also encourage every parent out there to not neglect praying for your children and for your own spiritual well-being on all of these issues. Pray specifically, saying, God, give me wisdom in helping my children navigate these issues now and to prepare to help them to navigate them in the future. And certainly be in God's word as a family. So anyway, I hope that answers Craig's question. It is hard to be absolutely thorough in some of these and to be exhaustive, but I know you have some other questions there, yeah. Rhett. So what else do we have?
Yeah, we have another question. It's a little more general. How much is too much media?
You know, you're right. That's so generic, and I guess I couldn't answer it with, you know, this many hours or that many hours. I would just say we have been too careless, and we need to be more careful. So I'm a big advocate for dieting, you know, when it comes to media, to really do less, and less is more, you know. And the reason is if you really scale back on your media consumption, then you're going to focus on the best. You know, you're going to major on what's best. And I tease my friends. I've got a lot of friends that do the Friday night movie night and with their families, and so that's, they kind of reserve one night a week to sit down and make pizza and watch a family friendly movie together. And I don't decry that at all. That's a great thing for families to do, but I tease people and I say, I'm not sure I could find 52 good films to watch in a year. You know, it's like, I don't know. It would be hard to find that many. And if you had to do that every year, you know, you'd be either just watching the same things over and over. So in our home, we really minimize the amount of media we consume. And then when we do consume something, we do it as a family, and we do something that's family friendly, and we enjoy it, and we analyze it as well. Maybe sometime we'll do a podcast on analyzing movies from a biblical worldview. That's kind of a fun thing to do. And so certainly I believe I can't give you a specific, you know, how much is too much. Well, you know, I could tell you what, if you didn't have any media consumption, you would probably be blessed for it. You know, you wouldn't be disappointed. People who go on media fasts, they're not disappointed. They really enjoy that. But I'm not saying that we're to be living without any kind of media input. But I think it should be minimized as much as possible. Life is too short. There's so much to be doing for the kingdom of God. There's so much to be doing in our homes. There's so much to be doing just practically, you know. And the more we stay occupied about the things that God wants us to be really focused on, and redeeming the time, then that's going to, I think, should be minimal. You know, recreation is meant to kind of recreate. It's meant to be refreshing from labor. And so that's what we reserve sitting down as a family to watch a film for, is when we have been working hard, when we have been exhausted, either spiritually or mentally or whatever the case may be, and we just want to sit down and refresh. They say watching, you know, television, which we don't have TV, but, you know, watching a movie is one of the most mindless things you can do. You know, so you actually do have to put your thinking cap on. But it does, you know, it can give you some rest and some refreshment, and I'm all for that. But less is more.
Okay. Here's another question that seems to come up every once in a while. Why does Media Talk 101 use social networks and other types of media?
Yes, this goes back. In fact, our first podcast we did, we kind of addressed this a little bit about... We get a bad rap once in a while for being anti-media or anti-technology because we talk about the concerns. And I mentioned in that podcast, at least I think I did, that, you know, if I was concerned about diet, you know, what kind of food, you know, we were consuming, and I talked about that, that wouldn't make me anti-food. If I have concerns about our government today, which I do, you know, and I have concerns about the direction our country's going, and I was to talk about that, that would not make me anti-government, and it doesn't make me anti-American either. It just says, I'm as an American, I've got some concerns. Mm-hmm. And likewise, as I see a lot of the issues in media and technology today, I do want to raise those concerns. But that doesn't mean that we're anti-media or technology. These are powerful tools, and they can be used for good or they can be used for bad. And when it comes to social networks, we could probably do, and I plan to do a whole episode sometime on Facebook, on the subject of Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I'll reserve the, you know, a lot of my comments I have about that, you know, for now. But I, that once again, all these things, there are certainly pitfalls. But in short, we use these tools to promote what we believe is things that are helpful and beneficial. Mm-hmm. But I would always encourage someone, whether it's a Facebook post or whether it's an email that we send out or whether this podcast, if it's distracting you from more important things, then turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly use discretion, and we can have even too much of a good thing. And there's a lot of great Christian media out there. There are a lot of clever Facebook posts out there, but nobody has time to consume all these things.
Yeah.
So, but we do want to be responsible as a ministry to continue to get our message out to people. So we use social networks to do that. We've produced a documentary. We use the medium of filmmaking. We have a website. I go out and I speak. We're doing a podcast. So certainly we use all these tools that we have available, which are tools of communication. And the question is what are we communicating? What is being communicated? Now, there's a proverb that says, the words of a fool are like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so that we get this picture of someone who picks up a sharp sword and begins to flail it around, and someone's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're handling things carefully, and this is talking about the tongue, what we communicate, it has the power to bring healing to an individual life or to a family or to a church or hopefully to a nation. And so when we handle these tools, we want to handle them with wisdom. And our prayer is that whatever we do, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's through this podcast or on our website or through films that we might, you know, like Captivated, our hope and our prayer is that this would be, as the proverb says, the tongue of the wise, which brings healing.
Well, you already kind of answered one of these other questions that I have. And we have so many more questions, but we will probably have to wrap it up and maybe continue in another podcast.
That sounds good. I think that's great. And I know normally we do some action steps, but I think this is kind of all action mm-hmm. step
yeah.
oriented. So we'll skip that little section that we normally do. And we want to thank you for taking the time today. You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. And we want to encourage you to visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles and videos and other resources. And if you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@MediaTalk101.org, and we'll try to tackle it the best that we can.